It's just your willingness to understand and to accept what Christ has done for you. And I pray today that you will understand that and walk down this aisle. You may be saved where you at, but you're going to make an open profession of faith, and that is walking down this aisle to be saved. Someone needs to do that today. Don't know who it might be. Luke chapter 15 is the lost and found chapter in the Gospels. Jesus Christ looked out upon the multitude. As he looked out upon the multitude, he knew that they needed a shepherd. And it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That means what Christ's eyes looked at upon this earth. When he's on this earth, that means your eyes and my eyes should be seeing the same thing that Jesus Christ saw. Is that right? When he saw people lost in their condition, we need to see people lost in their condition. Is that correct? Our eyes is Jesus Christ's eyes. Our mouth is his mouth. Our feet is his feet. Our legs are his feet. Our hands is his hands. We need to have the mind of Christ and to see the people in the condition that they're lost today. People are lost, so they march into hell by the numbers of the tens of thousands a day going to a place called hell. And while we sit aside and we come in sometime and dry-eyed, hard-hearted in the church many times, as I said, and scoot down in a pew somewhere or another and say, I made it, God. And we go out the same way we come in, and nothing ever moves us, and people still go into hell. We're never concerned about lost people. Jesus Christ was concerned about lost people. He came to seek and to save that was lost. And he makes it here and on in this chapter 15. Having the mind of Christ and having the eyes of Christ and seeing people. In this Luke chapter 15, the lost and found chapter, about a lost sheep, a lost silver coin, and a lost son. I like to read the first two verses. Keep your Bible open because we'll be taking all three of these together. It says in verse 1, then draw near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now the publican and sinners was a down and out. I mean, these publicans and sinners about one word. They was just a down and out. And then it says in verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. All these scribes and Pharisees, they was upper crust. They was held together by crumbs, but in their case, they was held together by religion. They was criticizing Jesus Christ, as a lot of people criticize Christians today. And they said, this man eateth with sinners, receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ still does that today? Where would you be if Jesus Christ did not receive you and come and have fellowship and supper with you? Where would you be? I'm glad he still does that. Jesus in the business of receiving sinners. Jesus Christ, time it says, come and have supper with me. You're sitting here today and Jesus Christ is asking you to come have supper with him. If you're a lost sinner today, it says there in Revelation in 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me have supper with him, and he's knocking there at your door. I want to have fellowship with you and have supper with you, a communion with you this day. He's knocking on your door. It's not coincident that you're here today. God had his power drawing you today, that you might come and hear exactly this message that God wants you to hear about the power of Jesus Christ to save your soul. So we see here in these two verses of scriptures that they're asking these questions, these Pharisees and these scribes. But also he said, why do you have supper? Why do you have any communication? And why do you receive these publicans and sinners? Then Jesus Christ begins to answer this in this parable. He answers and tells exactly why that I have received you and why I'm having supper with you, why I eateth with sinners, and why I receive sinners. He's asking them, and he's telling them exactly why. And this is the reason that you're saved today. And if you want to be saved, you can be saved. And it shows you your condition that you're in right now if you're lost. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power they are in the Word of God and the Spirit of God to unlock that dark heart, Father, that may be sitting on this pew today. Lord, to make them make that decision. They know about it. They think about it. Lord, they know that they're sinners. There's no doubt about it. You have put it in their heart. They understand that they have done wrong. They understand they have rebelled against you. They understand they are lost in their condition. But Jesus Christ, we pray, God, that you might give them that strength. Lord, we know that faith comes from you, that give them the faith to stand upon those feet that you might give them this day. Father, we pray that you might give them the strength now to walk down this aisle. Lord, they don't have to say anything except to you, Jesus Christ. And you're the one that does the saying. Father, we know exactly what you're going to do today, as you always will, and we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ for the almighty power, the working of the Spirit of God and the Word of God that you might work here this day. And we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. So he gives the answer of why he does this. It says now... in this verse of Scripture, verse 3, and he spoke this parable. Now, it is not plural, it's one, unto them saying. All three of these is answer this. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, he's answering this question in this parable. A lot of times you heard it preached to me too. I preached on one of these, the lost son, or the lost coin, or the lost sheep. And all three are this parable. One parable is telling you why that Jesus Christ still receives sinners today. He answered that question, and it goes on out into eternity, why that Jesus Christ receiving you today. Why is he going to receive you this day as a lost sinner, that you might come and be saved? All they was religious people. They did not understand the spiritual things of this world. So as we look at this and see this one parable, the message, it is how he sees the world. And we should see the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ today. As I said, now also this message is in 2 points. I might not get around to all the points of it, but there's 2 points in this message today. As we look at these 2 points, we find out the first one is we see the nature of sinful man. It shows us in all three of these three-point parable of the lostness of man. The nature of a man, the sinfulness of man, showing exactly like what we are without Christ. Every one of us before without Christ, it shows exactly what we are. But then it shows us the saving nature of God. In your condition, you can do nothing about it. As sinful man cannot do nothing about his condition. But to realize that that's the onlyest thing that a sinful man person can do in their sin is to realize the sinful, lost condition that they're in. And only by the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God that you might see yourself as a person that's going to go to hell because you have not received and accept what Christ had done 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. He paid for your sin, but you have to accept what he's done for you. That's what Christ is doing. That's what he's doing in these verses of Scriptures to the whole world today. This message to the whole world of mankind today. I wish everybody in the world could hear this message today. All the Islams, I wish they could hear this. All the cults, all the people who think they're doing good, it's lost in their goodness. Everybody in the world needs to hear what God has to say in his Word of God. So Jesus Christ answered them and tells them why that he keeps company with the publican and the sinners. To start with, he said, because it is the weakness of man without God. Do y'all understand that? In your condition, my condition, and someone here's condition, it's the weakness of man without God. He's like a sheep. And then he goes on and describes these things. That's the condition that you're in this morning. You're like a sheep because your weakness without God. There's nothing that you can do in the weakness without God. And he answers them because they're like a sheep. In verses 4 through 7, it says, what man are you having 100 sheep? If he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after that which is lost, and he finds it? And when he has found it, he laid it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over the 99 just person which needs no repentance. I'm telling you today, the joy in heaven that they could be ringing out from one side of heaven to the other. If one person comes to know Jesus Christ in this service today, I believe all across our nation, this past pastor that's standing and preaching the Word of God. I believe there'll be many people saved this day around our country. But today, I'm telling you, in this day, in this church, all heaven could be rejoicing because one person realizing, knowing that I'm lost and I need to be saved and I need to go down that aisle and accept Jesus Christ today. Oh, he says, all heaven shall rejoice. Oh, thank you for all the 99 that's here today. But I'm talking to that one now has never accepted Jesus Christ. How much joy that we could have today. It says, you know, that sheep now, yeah, they're very dumb animals. You know, when he's not bragging on us when he tells us about sheep, and y'all have heard these stories over and over again about a sheep. You can't train a sheep. You can train a dog. I mean, you can train all type of animals in circus, but you don't see sheep being trained. And they're awful easy to get lost. They just nibble here and they nibble there, and before long, you know, they're just all lost. Well, Isaiah tells us in 53:6, it says the same thing. It says, all we are just like sheep. That means every one of us. You're a sheep here today. It says like that. All have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's on Jesus Christ because of our lostness, of our going away this day. Dogs can find their way home. Horses, you know, in the olden days, you know what, a horse, you can just turn a horse loose in a buggy or about riding a horse, and they just find their way right back to that old home. They just go, they know where they're going. I'm going to tell you what, a dog, you can carry a dog off, they know how to get back home. A cat knows how to get back home. But sheep will get lost. That's the reason he said, you know what, we're just like dumb animals. We're easy to get lost. And you know what, it's so easy to get lost. And it's so easy to get lost whenever you reach that age of accountability, sir, ma'am, whatever you are today. You see, your children, before they reach the age of accountability, don't ask me what that age is. I don't know. But I do know when that child gets old enough to know they rebel against Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, and they need to be saved. Before then, they don't need to be saved because they're safe. As David said, you know, that child that died, and David said, I know that child, I cannot bring that child back, but I can go where that child's at. That tells us where children's going today. If they have not reached that age of accountability, you do not have to worry about your child. If you lose a child, that child's going to heaven. But mothers and fathers, so serious the condition in the day. When that child reached that age, if they know they rebelling against God, they need to be saved because they're lost. That sheep begins to go astray right then. Just as soon as I got to that age, I started going astray. And I went astray. Up into my 30s, I was still going astray. Some people's older than that, they're still going astray. The time that you walk away from God as you a child, knowing that you have rebelled against God, you started walking away. And there's some people still walking away today because it's so easy for us to walk away. Romans 3... 11:12 tells us, there is none that understands this. That's the mind without God. There is none that seeketh after God. People don't go seeking after God no more than someone robs a bank goes seeking after police. They don't want to find God. They're lost. A police don't want to go, somebody robs a bank, don't want to go find a police. Why? They're not looking for no police. Buddy, you're lost. You're not looking for God. God comes seeking for you. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, who done the seeking first? God comes seeking Adam and Eve, and he's still seeking out sinners today to save. He's seeking you in your pew right now. He's working on your heart just as hard as he can work on that old heart to let you know that you need to be saved. Make a public confession of your faith. Let the world know that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, except what he's done for you on Calvary's cross. He's the honest way that you make it to heaven. But it's more than just fire insurance. I'm telling you what, this is eternal security this day. It says, don't understand. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofit. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Does that leave you out? There's none that doeth good. It says, no, not one that understands a spiritual thing. Jesus Christ and Nicodemus, he said, you mean to tell me you are a ruler of the Jews, you are a master of the Jews, and you don't understand the spiritual things, that you must be born again because his eyes was blinded to the spiritual things. You may be a very intellectual person here this day, but you don't understand the things of God if you're lost. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you're going to be saved, you must be born again because you need a new nature. Your old nature is a fallen nature, and you need a new nature of Jesus Christ. Sheep are dependents. So they need someone to take care of them. That's what he said. Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, having no sheep, having no shepherds. Jesus Christ saw you, me, the sheep. He was concerned about them because they depended. You're dependent on someone to tell you. You cannot get saved unless someone tell you about the Word of God. The Bible says faith come by hearing and the hearing of the Word of God. No one ever gets saved unless they hear about the Word of God. That's the only way. Hearing the Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God today. It's my job to explain the Word of God and tell you about the Word of God. It's yours then to accept what I tell you. I cannot save anybody. Sheep, they're dependent. Philip Keller, on the book he wrote on the 23rd Psalm, is a very, very good book for you to read. I'd recommend it. But he says there's a, what they call a cast sheep. A cast sheep is a sheep that just gets so full in the summertime of eating that grass, and they'll graze here in that pretty grass, they'll graze there and graze there. And sheep like cows, when they get plumb full, they're going somewhere to lay down. And they're so fat and round, and they lay down. But if they lay down in a spot where it may be a little bit downhill, and you know in the land where the sheep is, they always mountains and valleys. So if they lay down on the ground there and it's a little bit unlevel, and if they have to roll up on their side and kick a little bit, you know what happens to them? They'll turn over on their back and their feet be sticking right up in the air. Did you know a sheep cannot get up in that condition? A sheep would just lay right there and die. Cannot get up. Just lay there and die. Won't blink, just lay there and die. It's called a cast sheep. Won't open its mouth. It would just die. Why? Because they're dependent upon the shepherd. That's the reason the shepherd counts the sheep when they go in the fold at night. That sheep that did not return. It could be a cast sheep. But also that they're very defenseless. We know a horse can run and a horse can kick and dogs bite and cats can scratch. You ever kind of try to catch a little kitten, look like kind of innocent little kitten there, and you're going to pick that little kitten up, and you know no problem picking him up, but you can't turn him loose? Cat can scratch, can they not? And skunks, you know what skunks do? A mother skunk was surrounded by an old fox, had a bunch of little skunks. And they was about to get the little skunks. And she said, come children all together and let's spray. Y'all didn't get that, did you? But what can a sheep do? What can a sheep do? No defense whatsoever. We're no match for the devil's wolves. We're no match for the devil. Jesus answered and said, why that I keep company with sinners? Because they're like sheep. And the weakness of man without God. But then the worthlessness of man without God. Verse 9, 10, 11 about the lost coin. Either that woman have 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently to find it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends or neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Here it is again. The worthlessness of man without God. It's like a lost coin. What's a lost coin made for? I mean, what's a coin made for? If it's out of circulation, it has no purpose in it. A coin is made for a purpose. You're made for a purpose. You're sitting here today, and God has made you for a purpose. God the Creator has created you. You won't call Him Father, but He has created you. He's the creation of all mankind. So people say, I got something working out. Well, God, yes, you have. God is the God of the universe. God, the Father, is the creator of all mankind. He is the creator of the bugs, the animals, the cats, and everything in this universe, and including this universe. He is the God, the creator, but you cannot call Him Father. Bugs don't call Him Father. Honest ways you can call Him Father is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that you might be able to say, Abba, Father. There's two families in the world. There's a family of Satan, and there's a family of God. You was born into a family of Satan, whether you like that or not. I know that's not very popular today, but if you don't know Jesus Christ right now, you are in the family of Satan. That ain't all. When your kids come to know the age of accountability, they're in the family of Satan also. And the honest way you get in the family of God is a new birth. You was born naturally in the family of Satan. You're born again into the family of God by a new birth, a new nature that God has give you. A new nature that God has give you today. Just to think about this. You're like an old coin that's lost. You was made for a purpose now. God sees that purpose in you. Jesus Christ looks at you today and sees that potential that you have. Jesus Christ is that loving God that sees that potential that you have. And what is the purpose of a coin is to be spent and to be spent. Well, which one is worth more, a $100 gold piece or a nickel on the floor of the ocean? Which one's worth more when it's lost on the floor of the ocean? The value is the same because it's out of circulation. The value is the same because it's out of circulation. Lost people, out of circulation. Don't work for the Lord, can't work for the Lord, you can't do anything for the Lord until you're saved. Let Jesus Christ come into your heart. They're out of circulation. It says there in Romans again, they're all together become unprofitable. But not only that, you find out this coin was lost in darkness. It said that she lit a candle. Every person without Jesus Christ is lost in darkness. You can't see. Oh, yeah, you got eyes to come in this building, go out this building, but you see you're lost spiritually. You cannot see the things unless the Holy Spirit of God illuminates your heart and lets you understand that you're lost without God. She lit a candle, and she began to look up because this coin was lost in darkness. Sin has blinded your eyes. That's what sin does to us today. Sin has blinded us. But people hate the light today. They hate the light. And they will not come to the light because their deeds are evil. They don't want the light today. But lost also in dirtiness. It says, you know what? She took a broom and began to stir around that dirt in that house and remove that dirt because that coin was lost somewhere in that house. You're lost in dirtiness. Sin is filth in this world today. Our righteousness is a filthy rags in the sight of God. And that's talking about your goodness. That's not talking how bad you are. That's talking about the very best that you can do. The very best a mother, a father can do. In God's eyes, it ain't a thing in the world about filthy rags. The best that you can do, not your sorriness. Don't think that scripture's talking about your sorriness. It's talking about the very best living, the very best mother, the very best father that you can be is a filthy rags in the sight of God. That ought to shake you up today to understand that of your goodness today. It's not your badness, it's your goodness. This coin was also lost in disgracefulness. It tells us as scholars that these 10 pieces of silver, 10 means completion in the Bible, seven means perfect, 10 means completion in the Bible. As we see this, there was something that was incomplete because she had lost one. And they tell us the story about this. When a woman got married, she had a band around her head. She had 10 pieces of these coins with a hole and a ribbon put in around her head. That was for you ladies like an engagement ring or a wedding ring to let people know that she was married. It was a very, very expensive piece of something she wore around her head. Well, now, can you imagine she had lost one of those? Can you imagine, ladies, that you lost your wedding ring or your engagement ring? That was something that was very, very serious. They were serious about that. She was very serious about that. That means, you know, because losing that, that means a disgrace. Shows that, you know what, she might have been unfaithful. She was looking for this, a disgrace. Satan plans to make your life a disgrace of God rather than a glory to God. Did y'all know that? That's the reason that you're lost now in the darkness. Reason that you're lost in dirtiness and reason that you're lost in disgraceness, because the devil intends to make your life miserable and a disgrace to God rather than a glory of God. God intends to make you a glory to His name today. Glory to His name. That's what the purpose that Jesus Christ is doing in you right now, to make you a glory for God the Father in heaven. Every one of us is saved. And those of you here today, if you're not saved, that's still the same thing that God intends to do for you. That Jesus Christ wants to get into your life and do what you cannot do for yourself and make you a glory to God, which you cannot do in your own self. So Jesus Christ answered, I keep company with these people because of their weakness, because of their worthlessness, also because of wretchedness. And that's talking about the lost man now, the lost son without God. We're like a lost son. Now, I know that you know this story. 11 through 16 tells about this young man asked his father, and we won't have time to read all this, but he asked his father, said, hey, I want my inheritance. I'm about tired of you anyway. I don't care if you die, but I want you to give me mine right now. In that time, they did not give their inheritance till someone died. He said, I want mine now. What he said is, I don't care if you go ahead and die, Daddy. I don't care what. I don't want you, but I want what you got. Being a good daddy like he was, he gave him his inheritance. Went off to a far country. You know what exactly what happened to him in that far country? He just spent everything he had. He had a lot of friends. Man, come on, we'll just set up the beer around. We just go to all these honky-tonks. We have a good time. We go to these Mardi Gras, and we go to California. We'd have a good time until his money run out. And when his money run out, you see, we find out, sets in wretchedness and depression. Verse 14 said, and when he had spent all that he had, he rose mighty, because there was a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now, no matter what you have, you're going to leave it, or it's going to leave you. Y'all understand that? It don't matter what you got, it's going to leave you, or you going to leave it in this world we live in. Well, depression set in. And you see in verse 15, it says, and he went down and joined himself to the city of that country, and he sent to the field to feed hogs or swine. Now, I mean, that's going down. He's a Jewish boy, and he's going down to feed swine. You know, that's a terrible thing, going down. We would call it a day going to the dogs, but in Jews' time, they was going to the hogs. Depression set in, feeding the swine. And then dissatisfaction set in verse 16. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him anything. He's on his own now. Dissatisfaction set in. Jesus Christ tells us, you know what? Jesus Christ is the deepest need, the physical need of man. You hungry, you might not know this today. You're here today and you're lost. You're hungering for Jesus Christ. There's a deep hunger that all the husk of this land will not satisfy you. The devil will give you everything. He'll give you corn if you want it, but you'll choke on his cob. This world will not offer you anything except to choke you. There's a hunger of this world. It never satisfies along in your heart until you find Jesus Christ. Then that satisfaction. But this man's heart was dissatisfied because he was not with Jesus Christ. The criticism of these people. Why, Jesus, do you eat with these publicans and sinners? And then he tells them why, that he keeps company and keeps company with these sinners and these publicans. Because the weakness of man without God. The worthless of man without God. The wretchedness of man without God. That's why I do this. I told you the second point to this. We saw the sinful nature of mankind. That's you today without God. The sinful nature that you have, and they're not nothing that you can do about it. But the second thing, we see the saving nature of God. The saving nature of God. As we see these three parts here, it tells about God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. The Trinity is at work in your life right now, and you don't even realize it. The Trinity is at work. There's always a Trinity, and all three of these, they're in the business of restoring you right now and bringing you back. Every one of these, they're in this business. As you see all three of these together, the nature of God is in all three of these. You see, the Son of God, what did he come for? To rescue. The Holy Spirit of God, what does he do in your life? He reveals. Well, what does the Father do in your life? He receives. All three of these. Jesus Christ now is the Good Shepherd. Luke 9 and 10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The first thing about the sheep now, the nature of God, the sheep. It says that Jesus Christ is a sheep shepherd. Now, the nature of a shepherd is what? Now, the Good Shepherd is to come and to rescue sinners. He come after you this morning. He is a shepherd. He's coming after you to receive you, to rescue you. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also is in Christ Jesus. Well, now we come to the coin. Now, the coin represents the Holy Spirit of God, because it's the nature of the coin to reveal. What the woman do when she lost it? She lit a candle. Dark in that house, she lit a candle. Right in your heart right now, the Holy Spirit of God is illuminating your heart to reveal the darkness and the sin of your heart this day. The Holy Spirit is holding a candle right at your heart right now. And it's shining in your heart in those dark places. And it says, I want you to give glory to Jesus Christ. No one can never be saved unless that Holy Spirit of God begin to light that candle for illumination and convict you of your dark deeds of your heart this day. And then it says she lit a candle, then she took a broom in to clean the house. That means she began to, you ever clean the house, you ever begin to walk, and the dust and everything begin to move things around? Well, right now, the Holy Spirit of God is moving things around in your heart right now. It's stirring up your heart right now, the Holy Spirit of God, because that's what it's doing. It's revealing and it's a stirring. You see, the Holy Spirit of God, even for saved people, won't let us stay in our sin. It'll start stirring us, and we might not like it. It'll stir you, and it'll stir you. It's stirring your heart right now. The Holy Spirit of God is like that piece of lost silver, and it's stirring your heart. Oh, this picture tells us about how that our heart really is. Stirring our heart, it shines in our heart and tells us that Jesus Christ loves us. And then we find the Father of the lost son. Verses 19 and 20 and on. He says, I'll arise and go to my Father. Was saying to him, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven. He says, I'm no more worthy to be called the Son. Make me a hired servant. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great ways off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and against thy, and I'm no more worthy to be called a son. But the father said unto the servant, bring forth the robe and put it on him and the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring him the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this father, the son, he said, was dead and alive forevermore. He was lost and found. And you know what? Let's be merry. Now we find the father receiving. You see the father there sitting in that chair when that son left that day. I can just see him on an old porch somewhere rocking. And probably every evening he goes out and looks down that road and see if he sees that son coming. He don't see him. He walks down to the mailbox, maybe with a cane in his hand, and he opens up that mailbox to see if he's got a letter from his son, but he hears no word. Next time he goes down to the store, he asks anybody, have y'all seen my son? But not a word. Don't hear anything from that son. But he goes back and he sits on that old rocking chair and he just begins to rock. And then one day, he sees something coming down the road there. A man in rags. Looked like he was deathly sick. But there was something about the way he walked that the father recognized who it was. You know, he didn't say that he waited till he got up on the porch and hugged his neck. He said he lit down and he run to meet him. This is the only place in the Word of God that you'll ever find that God run. He always has plenty of time. But I want to tell you, if you'll step out here on faith this morning, you'll find out that God will run to meet you today. And he run. He put his arm around him. He says, now, bring him that robe. And that robe, I'm telling you, that he wants to put on you this morning is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Bring that ring. That ring will restore you into the authority, into the family of God. Bring those shoes, the shoes of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you might all be able to use your feet for the glory of God. Jesus Christ says, I'll make you king and priest. And he did. Verse 24, he was dead and now he is alive. I've heard this so many times when it comes to this part of the scriptures. As a preacher was on a train many years ago and the traveling was on the train, there was a young man sitting there side of him. And this young man was real nervous, and the preacher had been around a lot of people. And, you know, you can kind of tell when someone is nervous. He said, son, I know there's something wrong with you. Could I pray for you? Could I help you? I know that you're real nervous. He said, well, I can tell you. He says, just a few minutes, we're going to go around the corner. And my mother and father's backyard comes right back that train track. And whenever I was young, I was a teenage boy, like these teenage boys and girls is. And I told my mother and daddy I didn't ever want to see them no more. I told them I didn't like them. I told them I hated them. I told them I didn't want nothing else to do with them. I thought they was the meanest person I ever seen in my life, and I don't want to never see you again. He said, I left. I've been several years, and I left. But he said, I realized that I was so wrong. and how much I really do love my mother and father. But you see, I don't know if they'll set me back or not. I don't know if they'll let me come home or not after the way I acted. But I wrote them a letter and I told them there's a big old oak tree in the back of that yard. It was right by that train track. And I said, if I'm welcome home, I want you to take a handkerchief and tie it on that oak tree. And if I see that handkerchief on the oak tree, I'll get out at the next stop and I'll go home. If it don't, I'll keep on riding. And the preacher says, well, let's pray about it. He said, I don't believe I can look. The preacher said, I tell you what you do. You just bow your head and pray, and I'll watch for you, and I'll see if that handkerchief is on that tree. Well, the boy began to pray. And around that curve, as he prayed and he passed that house, and that preacher began to smile. He said, son, he says, there wasn't no handkerchief on the tree. But he said there was bed sheets. There was pillowcases. He said that whole tree was white. It looked like it was snowing. Want you to come home. Won't you come home? You know, that's what it is right now. That person sitting in this pew this hour. And the Father, he is in the business of receiving you. Jesus Christ is that good shepherd. He's seeking you out. And the Holy Spirit of God has revealed to you what you need to do. But the Heavenly Father is here with open arms to receive you if you'll come here this morning. That's as simple that Jesus Christ, and he spoke these words himself. And I know I didn't do it justice, but I do it the best I can. If you walk out of this building lost, it's not my fault. It's not God's fault. As we come with a song of invitation this hour, if you'll step out of those pews and just walk down this aisle, I guarantee that you'll find out that God will run to meet you, and you feel like somebody is toting you down this aisle if you'll just come right now. It says for us to come just like we are. You say, well, I got some things in my life I sure would like to change. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God loves you to change you. You don't change for God to love you. You can't make God love you, and you can't make God accept you next week trying to do better. Because remember, the best that you can do is a filthy rags in God's sight. That's your best. So he says to come on. You realize that? He says, if you could get up, walk down, and I'll tell you exactly how to be saved. It's so simple. In fact, it's so simple, I'd like for you to do it right now. I'd like for you to bow your heads, and I'm going to lead you through a sinner's prayer. As we bow our heads right now and our eyes are closed, Jesus Christ, I believe right now. You say this in your own mind and your own words. You talk to God, you're not talking to me. I believe everything that that preacher said. I believe the Son of God here this day is coming out, and Father, that he is a good shepherd, and he has come to seek me. And I realize that Spirit of God has let my heart know that I am a sinner and I need to be saved. But I realize, believe that Holy Father, he's got his arms wide open. He would receive me if I would come to him. I'll ask you, Jesus Christ, would you forgive me of my sins? I know there are many. I cannot change. I want you to change me. I want you to come to my heart. And I want you, God, this hour to be my Jesus and forgive me of all my sin and to save me in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we stand and sing our invitation. If you pray that prayer,